There are a couple of things that Sue had in mind, or maybe one thing from last week.
Yeah, I'm going to borrow the chairman of the Bible Society's Bible. There we go. Thank you very much. So last week, I realised that I did respond a bit to the pressure of time because there was so much going on, and of course, actually, it's the same this week. Maybe we need longer services.
Yeah. Maybe African that's what. Style.
Yeah, why not? I mean, who cares about time? Hey. So the thing was, last week I talked about the Table of the Nations and the Tower of Babel. And you remember I also mentioned about the so-called curse of Ham, which was actually the curse of Canaan, his son, and how that was used to justify racism and slavery and all kinds of things because of the interpretation. And how actually that wasn't true. Anyway, so I don't want to rehearse the whole thing. But the Table of the Nations came before the Tower of Babel. And if you look at the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10, it's actually quite a positive account of how the nations spread out. And then you zoom in on this story about Babel. And you remember I said that sometimes interpretation can be the art of actually filling in the gaps, because actually it's not specifically said there. So you could interpret that that the people in Babel actually were either afraid of dispersing, or they were proud and they wanted to make a name for themselves. And the thing about the fear of dispersing and not being willing to actually do what God wanted them to do, which was fill the earth. So the creation mandate, because Genesis is all about first things. And so the creation mandate was that we would go and fill the whole earth. And Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, they were afraid and they wanted to all stick together. So I kind of want to suggest to you in your thinking that could that be actually, it's why God dispersed them, was because it was about uniformity. They all wanted to be together, and they didn't want to disperse. But God made them disperse, and he was going to anyway. And so I would suggest that actually languages and nations didn't come into existence as a result of sin. Because if you look at Genesis chapter 10, it was quite a positive account. And so when we get the nations and the languages, and Charlotte was just talking about the release of scriptures when the Bible gets translated into many languages. 671 languages the full Bible has been translated into. You know, and so the power actually of language, and the Bible is written in three languages. It's not just one. It's Aramaic, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. This whole version, parts of Ezra and Daniel, that's in Aramaic. And in Genesis 31:47, Laban and Jacob had an agreement, and they built a pile of stones. Jacob called it one thing, and Laban called it another. Two different names in two different languages. Laban called it an Aramaic name. Jacob called it a Hebrew name. So right there in Genesis, you've got languages developing. And I think my passion is that it's a redemptive thing, and it's a positive thing, not a negative thing. And that uniform, that God, what God wanted was unity and diversity. So the unity we see in John 17 is the unity of the body of Christ, but we don't all have to be the same. And so therefore, thinking about Advent, Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. The Gentiles, the nations. And when we all worship the Lamb, we're not going to just be all the same. We're going to be from different nations, different peoples, different languages, worshipping together in diversity, not uniformity.
Fantastic.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Sue. I'm not sure that I can pick up Sue's level of passion. But I'll have a go.